Before we start the show, I want to thank the thousands of you, the thousands who have read This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Many of you have told me that the book's unique way of exploring fear, confidence, and purpose has had a lasting impact, that it's much easier for you to get clarity and direction about what really matters and what you want to do in this lifetime. It's also amazing to hear that quite a few of you have read it multiple times and even bought copies for friends. So thank you again. Just in case you weren't aware, I created a free companion video course for the book. And in these videos, I walk you through the big takeaways and practices from each chapter. And I even cover some extra stuff that's not included in the book. Information on how to access the course is in newer versions of the book. And if you own an older version of the book and you don't know how to access the course, just hit me up via the contact form at triplanier.com and we'll get you all set up. And one last thing, if you're one of the thousands who have already read the book, please consider leaving an honest review on Amazon so that others can decide if it's right for them. Again, thank you so much for reading This Book Will Make You Dangerous. And now let's start the show.
You are listening to The New Man Beyond the Macho Jerk and the New Age Wimp. Your host is men's coach Trip Lanier.
Do you feel like you need to make a major life change, but you don't know what to do? Are you scared to commit because you may fail or waste a lot of time and energy? And what would it be like to ditch work to become a professional athlete? Today, we're talking with Dan McLaughlin of The Dan Plan. Listen as he discusses some ways that you can navigate the bumpy road of committing to a change. Welcome to The New Man. Today we're talking with Dan McLaughlin. He's Dan of The Dan Plan. Dan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
We got to get it right off the bat. What is The Dan Plan? What are you talking about?
Well, The Dan Plan is kind of a test in human potential. At its core, what I wanted to do was to go out and pursue excellence in a field that I had never tested. I'd never tried to basically illustrate the fact that if you're willing to put in the hard work and you're able to put in the hard work, that you can actually become a pure expert in anything in life.
Okay, so the whole thing is like you don't have to have talent, you don't have to be some star, that it's just if you're willing to sweat it out, you can become a master. Is that what would you call yourself, or how would you call your, what's the title that you would call yourself?
I think that it goes back to the research of Dr. K. Anders Ericsson, who basically came up with this hypothesis after 30 years of researching in every field available, that in order to become a true expert, or as some people put it, outlier, you have to put in 10,000 hours of deliberate practice. This isn't just like grinding away day after day, kind of mindlessly doing the same task. It's actually constantly working on your weaknesses to propel yourself and to get a little bit better every day. And after 10,000 hours of this, then you actually can be an outlier, or, you know, what people say is just an expert or naturally gifted in any specific field.
Okay, so it's really about it's a conscious and engaged amount of time that you're working on this area. Is that right?
Yeah. It's going to take me about 6 years of doing 6 hours a day, 6 days a week, and then that will be right around my 10,000 hours. And I mean, it's no hard and fast number. So basically, the point is that I'm going to do this for as long as it takes to actually make the PGA Tour. And then 10,000 hours is one of the goals. That's just kind of the carrot in front of the donkey to keep me going day after day.
Okay, yeah. And we haven't really specified that to the listeners yet, but you're pursuing to become a professional golfer. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true. I never, in the first 30 years of my life, I had actually picked up golf clubs maybe five or six times, playing little par threes with my brother in Omaha, Nebraska. And then one day, I basically just decided that that was what I wanted to pursue. And after months and months of research and planning out, I saved money and realized that it was going to be possible to take some time off and to pursue this goal. So around April 15th of 2010, I quit my job and I started practicing golf. And I've been practicing golf for about 13 months now, 6 days a week.
Wow. I'm just imagining all the guys out there like, how do I just quit my job and just play golf? And it's a nice umbrella that I can become a professional or whatever. But it's just like, how is it even possible? You just saved up enough money to take off 6 years and to be able to go and play golf every day. It's like 30 hours a week. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, for the golf time alone, and this is time literally standing over a ball working on something, it's I try to get about 32 to 36 hours a week. And then there's all the other, you know, physical workouts, the mental conditioning, and there's a lot of externalities that don't count for the 10,000 hours that you do in a week. But I mean, to make it fair, I saved up money for about 5 years. Originally, my goal was to go back to grad school and not have to take out any student loans. I wanted to save up enough to pay for grad school and then pay for my mortgage during that time.
Okay.
And not have to have a job. So yeah, it was more than just a few months. I mean, it was years of saving to start this pursuit.
Yeah. The word I keep getting is commitment. It wasn't like you decided sometime in April, like, hey, you know what? Next week, I'm going to just dive into this. You've been saving up. You knew that this chapter in your life was coming up, even if you weren't really aware that you were going to do golf. Is that right?
Yeah, for me, it was either going to be to travel the world for a couple of years or to go back to grad school. And that's what I've been saving for. But then in June of 2009, it kind of was like an epiphany. I just realized that if I went to grad school or traveled, in either of those cases, I would probably have a great time, learn a few things, and come out at the end about 100K in the hole and needing to get a job. So then I realized, well, with $100,000 and end goal or the end outcome of the process is you need to get a job, you can pretty much do anything in life. So then I started thinking about just alternate means of learning and you know, more like apprenticeships and how you could just try anything. And that's basically when the idea of golf came into my head. And so then for the next 9 months, I planned out how to pursue it. And then in April, quit the job and picked up the clubs.
Wow, that's so cool. You know, and I want to just put myself in the seat of the guy that's out there listening right now, because he may hate his job. He may hate his 9-to-5 and he's staring this thing down and he's looking at the next 10, 20, 30 years of being in that place. And for him, he would make a jump into something else if he only knew what that thing was. So how did you settle on golf? How did you settle on this particular thing? Because I think that would be really helpful for the guy out there.
You know, I don't know. I mean, in a lot of ways, through my entire life, it was just always something that was there. And I never even watched it on TV. You know, I'm not like a sports watcher. Like, I won't just sit there and watch golf on a Saturday afternoon for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And I never played except for those few times with my brother. But it was always something that deep down, I just, whenever I heard about it or saw anything about it, I just always thought, like, I know I can do that. Like, that is something that interests me. And anything then people were telling me, you know, golf is the hardest thing. It's a mental, you know, just a whole mind mess, and you can never perfect it. You always have to work on it. And I mean, that there really appealed to me. And then also just the idea of getting outside and getting in better shape, that was appealing. So everything just mixed together, and it just seemed like the ultimate pursuit for me personally. But I mean, there's no like hard, fast line, you know, like this is it. It just always seemed appealing, and decided that that's what I was going to do. And once I, you know, put my mind to it, I'm just going to follow it out regardless of the outcome. Like, this is what I'm doing now, and I love it.
So how important is passion in all this? How important is it that you from your interior, from an emotional level, that you care and that you want to play golf? Because you could just be out there banging through buckets of balls, but how important is it that you love what you're doing and you're really into it?
I think that passion is quite possibly the most important aspect of a pursuit like this. Because if you're not passionate, then you're not going to be cognitively engaged in your practice hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month. If there's ever a time where my body's worn out, my mind's worn out, and I'm kind of confused about what I'm doing because it's been a few days since I've had a swing lesson, I find that you actually do become less passionate about it because you start questioning how you're going about learning. And at those points, you basically have to just walk away and kind of refresh the brain and then reapproach it the next day, because you have to have that passion, because without that passion, you can't force yourself to learn if you're not interested in what you're learning.
Wow, I like that. You know, it's not just going through the motions, and it's not just kind of getting it in our brain. We've got to engage our heart on some level. We've got to engage our guts, that part of us. It's like, I don't know, that intestinal fortitude to keep pushing when we just kind of hit the wall. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. You have to constantly engage yourself and be willing to push your limits. And kind of a motto I live by is that I don't think you're really honestly living unless you make yourself at least slightly uncomfortable at some point every single day. And I managed to try to make myself uncomfortable through pushing myself a little bit further in my learning and in my pursuit through the DAN plan.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because I know so many people that are avoiding discomfort at all costs. Like everything that they're doing is basically to avoid discomfort. And you're saying that you're looking for opportunities to not be freaked out, but to just be a little bit uncomfortable every day. Why does that matter? Why would the guy at home want to push himself in that way?
Well, I mean, as long as it's a healthy level of uncomfort, but the way I see it is if you push yourself and put yourself in a situation that you're not comfortable with, say you decide to confront your boss and ask for a raise, or you go out and apply for a new job, or you try to pick up that girl that you think is slightly out of your league. If you try these things, I mean, inevitably, a lot of times you might get shut down, but you always learn from that experience. But if you live life in a safe zone, then you're never gonna move out to the 3-point range. I mean, you're never gonna sink that winning shot, because you're just gonna live in a comfortable bubble. And that's fine and that's great, but I think that life's too short not to push it a little bit.
Yeah, and I could imagine as life goes on that the bubble, that comfortable bubble, actually gets smaller and smaller because we're contracting more and more. Is that your experience too?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it seems like with age, you kind of get more into routines. You know, the younger people are, the more they're willing to kind of reach out and express themselves in different ways. And it's really easy to kind of settle and just move into comfortable routines the longer you go on. So I think it's very important to mentally remember to kind of put yourself in these uncomfortable situations in order to learn something new that day.
Yeah. Yeah. And then underneath all of this, like, it's a great plan to do the 10,000 hours of training to fulfill this dream of getting into Q school, which is the qualifying school for the PGA Tour. Is it just passion that's driving you? Is there something deeper underneath? Like, sometimes we can get into places where we don't even know what's driving us. And I'm curious, what else is driving you besides this passion? Is there anything else?
I don't know. I mean, if we had a lot of time and a good psychologist, we might be able to figure out a few things. But I think that I just have a very strong internal competition. You know, I'll run, say I do cardio 3 or 4 days a week. Every time I set out to do cardio, I basically force myself to get a couple seconds faster than the last time I did it. And okay, there's no reason to it. And it's probably not the healthiest thing in the world, but that is just something that has always been built into me.
Got it. And so how far into the DAN plan are you today? How many hours are you into it as of today?
I think this morning total is about 1520, something around there, 1521.
Okay.
Of the 10,000 hours, so it's about, you know, approaching it 1/6 of the way.
All right. And describe, you briefly described it a little bit more, but give us an idea of what a typical week is for you at this time.
Well, first off, what we're doing is a little different than that. We're learning the game starting from the hole and moving out. So for the first 5 months of the Dan Plan, I literally only putted. I started putting from 1 foot away from the cup. And then as soon as I got to a success level from that distance, I moved to 3 feet and then 5 feet. And then after a few months was lag putting and then started slowly chipping from the fringe. So now, a year later, I am playing golf, quote unquote, from anywhere within about 120 yards. And I still only have a pitching wedge, a 56, and a putter. Because the short game, as most golfers know, is so important.
Right.
That's just the way that we're pursuing it. And then a typical day would be basically whatever I deemed from the evening before was the weakest part of my game. That's what I'll focus on for the first 2 hours in my morning. Say that, you know, my putts are going left or my, you know, chips or my pitches have a little bit of a draw or whatever it is. I'll go out and for 2 hours work on that, and then I'll go and play 27 holes, basically just dropping a ball at 100 yards, 75 yards, and 50 yards, and then playing those out. And then according to how I score on that, I'll go back for about 2 or 3 hours in the afternoon and work on my weaknesses there. And then after that, go to the gym, have a physical therapist, and have about a, you know, 6 days a week, have about an hour workout routine.
Wow.
And then go home and kind of blog about the day, and that's that.
Wow, and that's 6 days a week. That's been basically the plan for the last year or so, right?
Yeah, I take Saturdays off because that's typically the busiest day on the golf course.
You have
to at least take one day off just because recovery is just as important as working out.
Yeah. You know, I just keep getting the image of Yoda being over your shoulder or, you know, Ralph Macchio, Mr. Miyagi's there and he's teaching you how to do the, you know, the wax on, wax off kind of stuff. But it really starts with these very fundamental things. Is that right?
Yeah. Danielson, right? That's Mr. Miyagi said. Yeah, that works. It's all about fundamentals because I'm coming from an area where I had never played the game. So if you just go out and start playing the game, you'll probably slowly improve, of course, but you're never going to get to those crucial levels if you don't have the right fundamentals. So that's where we spent the first year basically just learning how to putt and how to swing a club.
Right. And so what are some nuggets? Do you have any things that you could share that, well, okay, I learned this on the course, but I could also apply this in my life. Have you gotten any of those kind of lessons yet?
Yeah, I think the first thing is just don't ever get frustrated, because learning anything, if you really want to learn it well, it's going to take a long time. And there's always ups and downs with any pursuit, anything. Like anything I've tried to learn, there's going to be a couple weeks where you're slowly improving and then a couple weeks where you've gone back like 80%. But then after that, if you just work through those tough times, it's just one day it all clicks and all of a sudden you're, you know, 200% better. And so I guess the main point is just not to give up, because there's going to be struggles. But if you work through those struggles, you're going to improve.
That's so powerful, because I could see where a guy's like, man, I'm starting to make some progress. I'm getting somewhere. And then wait a second, I'm sucking. I really suck now. And I was doing so good. To hell with this. I'm going to give up. But you're saying, no, just stick it out. Stay engaged. And then there's something's going to click and you'll actually be much better than you were before. Is that right?
Yeah. There's no rhyme or reason to it. I mean, it's just you'll just have an incredibly frustrating week, and then, you know, next Tuesday you'll just wake up and you'll go out there and whatever you're trying to get better at, all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, I get it now. I understand. It just seems to work. And those are the aha moments, and they last, say, you know, a week or two, and then all of a sudden you're back in the pit.
But yeah,
that's just the ebbs and flows of life.
I love how you have a detachment about that it's just the nature of it, that, you know, it's a mystery why we suck all of a sudden. And it's also pretty mysterious why all of a sudden we're even better than we were the day before. But the constant here is staying engaged and staying committed and keep up with the work. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, if you, no matter if you're learning music or, you know, finance or golf or any, no matter what you're learning, if you could chart it out day by day, and you'll see that you'll have these down points. But the overall progression, as long as you're actually, you know, passionate and engaged in learning, is going to be an upward curve. And I don't really see any plateaus right now, you know, and so that to me proves that this is possible, because anything I've done, it has, there's been downtimes, but the constant is that it's getting better and better. So as long as that keeps going, then this entire pursuit and the ability for anybody to basically become anything is a possibility.
Wow. Awesome. Awesome. And so is there one practice that you could recommend for that guy out there? Is there one thing like, hey, if you just did this one thing and you did it every day or once a week, this is going to help you in some area of your life. Do you have something you could share?
Yeah. You know, I think that it's something that we as modern people perhaps neglect or don't do enough of, but it's just a little bit of self-reflection. Just even if it's just 30 seconds of just stopping and thinking about what you're doing and why, it's really powerful, because we kind of have this tendency to just over-caffeinate ourselves and just like kind of pump through life as fast as we can. And I think a lot of times it's really easy to lose yourself in that. And you can lose yourself for days or weeks or months. So if you just have a time where every day you just kind of stop for a second and just ask yourself, like, what am I doing and why? I think that we can all learn a lot from that.
Here are some big takeaways from our talk with Dan McLaughlin. Number one, Dan is setting out to illustrate that you don't need talent to become an expert at something. Studies by guys like Dr. Erickson at FSU, go Noles, show that we can become an expert at anything if we dedicate 10,000 engaged hours to the learning process. For Dan, that means working on the fundamentals 6 hours a day, 6 days a week for 6 years. What would have you commit to that kind of time and energy? Number two, most of us are complaining and moaning because we don't like where we are professionally or personally. We feel stuck because we also don't know where we want to be. We're waiting for that next ship to come in before we get off of the one we're on. So how did Dan decide to commit to golf? He had a few possible options out there, but he made a massive commitment based on what sounded like a hunch to me. It wasn't a safe bet. He hadn't invested a bunch of time or energy in order to minimize the risk. Bottom line, if you're wanting to make a shift, you may never, ever, ever have a sure thing. Take the time every day to feel into what does interest you. Clarify what you do like instead of focusing simply on what you don't like. Get curious. Be willing to explore. Even if you don't know exactly what you're going to do, commit to the process of revealing what that is. Number three, if you're not emotionally engaged in what you're doing, you're not really going to learn. Be careful about pursuing things just for rational reasons. You're not a robot. Tap into your emotional power. What fires you up? What motivates you? Stoke that fire. Nurture it. You're going to need it to make progress. Number four, consider that everything you really want is outside of your comfort zone. Dan recommends doing something every day that makes you a little bit uncomfortable. Now notice he didn't say something that induces terror or panic. This is about finding your edge and expanding it. Start a conversation with a stranger. Turn off your GPS and find your destination by using the force. Share your opinion on a project with your boss. Admit to your friends that you listen to Lady Gaga. Whatever it is, figure out wherever you're holding yourself back from something you want and take a baby step towards it. Expand your capacity to be with uncertainty. As Dan said, even if you get shut down, you'll learn something valuable in the process. Now, this is especially true for you older guys that are more and more set in your routines. Number five, Consider what has you doing something. In other words, are you engaging something because you want to get something from someone? Are you wanting to get validation, sex, money, status, approval, or security? Or are you wanting to express something? Are you wanting to give something? If you're in the getting mode, you may never satisfy this ache. Instead, tap into what you want to share with the world. Now, this may scare the hell out of you, but in my experience, it's the path to greater fulfillment and satisfaction. Simply striving to get something from others means you'll eventually hit the wall. It's simply not that nourishing. It's not sustainable. And number 6, the learning process is by default filled with peaks and valleys. Now, can you accept this going in? Watch out if you have any expectation that it should simply be easy. You're setting yourself up for a huge disappointment. Know that you'll have setbacks. Know that you'll face struggles. If you're committed and you stay engaged, you'll see that your overall progress is forward, even though it may feel like you're going backwards at times. The amateur, he's going to get frustrated and quit. The pro, he'll understand that this is simply part of the process. It's to be expected. The pro will follow through. Well, Dan, where can we learn more about you? How do we find out about the Dan Plan and stay keep up with your progress?
Well, the easiest way is just thedanplan.com, and then there's always Facebook, which is Facebook/thedanplangolf, and then Twitter is @thedanplan.
Very cool. Well, I look forward. Maybe we could check in with you later on down the road and see how the plan is unfolding, and get another picture of you on this journey.
Yeah, definitely. It's every 6 months or every year, so let's connect back up and see how things are going.
Right on, right on. Dan, thanks so much for taking the time to talk today.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks for having me on.
Visit thenewmanpodcast.com to receive tips, updates, and all kinds of new man goodies. Thanks for listening.